Genesis chapter 49, we're going to study this wonderful chapter, or part of this chapter, I should say, Genesis chapter 49. The title of my sermon this morning is Determine Your Destiny Today. Determine Your Destiny Today. Let's read here in Genesis chapter 49, verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 reads, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We ask now, O Spirit of God, that you would guide us and lead us. Please teach us. Glorify the Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray, as you meet our needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The context of Genesis chapter 49 is that Jacob has settled in Egypt with his family. He has accepted the invitation of Joseph and has been given permission by Pharaoh to dwell in the land of Egypt. And Jacob is getting on. He is 147 years of age. He knows his time is short. He hasn't been well, so he calls his sons in. The Bible teaches us in verse 1 that he gathered them around him. "Gather yourselves together," he said. And note there at the end of verse number 1 it reads, "that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." So he gathers his sons together all at one time. He doesn't interview them one by one. He has them all there around his bed. And he said to them all at the same time that I'm going to share with you what will come of you. And then in verse number 2, as he gathers them together, he said to his sons, "I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say." So he calls for a meeting of his sons. He gathers them around his bedside. And he said to them, first and foremost, "I'm going to share with you what will become of each one of you and your family line. And I want you to listen very carefully." So Jacob, in the process, addresses each of his sons. He not only pronounces blessings on specific ones within this chapter, he also predicts their future as individual tribes. And within this chapter, you will notice a variation in blessings and predicted future for each one. Note the end of verse number 1 once again, where Jacob said, "that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." So he dresses each of the sons and he prophetically foretells what will become of each of their family groups. The Bible teaches us that every man shall give an account of himself to God. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible teaches us it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And also in Galatians chapter 6, we are taught that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can all have the same opportunities and yet reap different blessings, different curses, based upon the choices we make. And also we need to remember that no man is an island unto himself. What you do today will affect somebody tomorrow. You are where you are at now because of choices you have made and are making in the present. And those choices will affect your future and the lives of others. Jacob, as a father, was not perfect by any means. Each of his children made individual choices that not only affected them, but also had an effect upon their future generations. So let's listen carefully to Father Jacob as he addresses each of his sons. And he gives a summary of the life of each son. And he also predicts what will become of each of their family tribes, so to speak. In verses 3 and 4, we note that he addresses Reuben first and foremost. Who was Reuben? Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, his first child, his first son. And he begins in verse number 3 by spelling out Reuben's great potential. Note then verse number 3. Reuben, so you've just got to envision in your mind Father Jacob in his bed, sitting up. He's got all of his sons around him. I'd imagine it's very still. What's Dad going to say? And then he said, Reuben. Reuben's not surprised, he's the firstborn. Dad addresses the firstborn first and foremost. Reuben, in the presence of all the others, he said, thou art my firstborn. Note then verse number 3. My might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Reuben. And he spells out before Reuben that he highlights before all, you are my firstborn. As a firstborn, you were entitled to a double portion of inheritance. That was customary within the biblical setting. So he spells out the great potential that Reuben as the firstborn has, or had, I should say. My might. The word might there means firmness. The beginning of my strength, force. excellency of dignity, prestige. You have a prestigious position, Reuben. You are the firstborn. So he begins by addressing Reuben, and he addresses the great potential that this firstborn son had. And then we move on into verse number four. Note verse number four. He said of Reuben that you are unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Reuben, you as my firstborn had such potential. You had the prestigious honor of being my firstborn. You had great potential as my firstborn son. But you are unstable, and because you are unstable, you will not excel. Reuben had so much potential, but he was unstable. And Jacob said of this son that prophetically, Reuben, you and your family line will not amount to much. You will not excel. Why? Well, let's read on verse number four. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Why did Jacob say to Reuben, Reuben, you had such great potential. You were my pride and joy. But you are unstable as water, and you will not amount to very much. You will not excel. And then Father Jacob, or Israel, said to his son, the reason being is because of your immorality with my concubine by the name of Bilhah, that is recorded back in Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. Because of your immorality, because of your lack of purity, you are unstable as water, and you will not excel. See, Reuben was entitled to be a leader and receive a double portion of family inheritance. But because of unbridled lust, Father Jacob, Israel, said of Reuben, you will be unstable, and you will not excel. You will amount to very little. Go back to 1 Chronicles, or go forward, I should say, to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. We note here the loss of that birthright, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, and given to Joseph and his sons. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborns of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So the Bible confirms there that because of Reuben's immorality, here in 1 Chronicles 5:1, that he lost the right of his firstborn privilege. And as we study the tribe of Reuben, listen to me very carefully. as you study the tribe of Reuben throughout the pages of the Old Testament, the tribe of Reuben was characterized by hesitancy and uncertainty. In fact, during the latter years, they failed to go to battle during the time of the judges. They did not excel. Go to Judges chapter 5, please. Judges chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. The second part of verse 15, Judges chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. The second part of verse 15 reads, "For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart." Then we move into verse 16. "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds, to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart." Now this is in reference to their instability, their uncertainty, their unwillingness to go to war. So we find in the history of Israel, the tribe of Reuben, listen carefully, the tribe of Reuben never furnished a spiritual leader of any kind. Not one prominent leader came from the tribe of Reuben. Not one. Not one. And we read in Numbers chapter 32 that in the latter journeys to the promised land, the tribe of Reuben was the first to ask for a place to settle. They didn't wait till the crossing of the Jordan with the others. Before they even crossed the Jordan, they said, "We need a land." And I could just imagine the other tribes probably looked at them and said, "What? You guys are so unstable. What have you done to help us to get to this point? And before we even get into the land, you're asking for your portion." They wanted something for nothing, just like many in our current generations. A lot of young people today, they're wanting everything for nothing. If we go to Joshua chapter 22, please. Go to Joshua chapter 22. We also see that the tribe of Reuben was involved in erecting unauthorized places of worship. Go to chapter 22 of Joshua. In verse 10, it reads, "And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to." Then it goes on to give further details concerning that. So we see that the tribe of Judah wanted their inheritance before they even were in the land. They weren't prepared to fight and to battle like the other tribes. They were involved in erecting unauthorized places of worship. So we see that Jacob's prophecy was fulfilled concerning the tribe of Judah, that she would not excel. Never has the tribe of Reuben excelled in anything. If you study the tribe of Reuben from the time of Genesis, they did not excel. They wanted everything on a silver platter. And they were self-willed to the core. They were unstable. They hesitated. They didn't excel. And Father Jacob said, Reuben, you are unstable as water. And this instability, which is the produce of your immorality, will flow to your tribe, and your people will not excel. And not one spiritual leader has risen, has been raised from the roots of Reuben, if you study your Old Testament. Not one. Not one. Unstable as water. And this tribe was unstable because of her immorality, which was the result of uncontrollable passions. Beloved, listen to me very carefully. Purity leads to stability. Impurity leads to instability. Purity leads to stability. Impurity leads to instability. And we see this illustrated in the life of Reuben. And Israel said to his son, "Son, you had such great potential. You were my firstborn. You were my dignity, my power, my might, my force, my strength. You had such potential. But because of your inability to control your passions, your flesh, you will not excel. You will be unstable as water. Your people will be unstable, and your people will not excel." In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we are told that the Apostle Paul said that I'm going to bring my body into subjection lest I become a castaway, lest I be disqualified from God's blessing. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 14, the Bible teaches us that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, the power of sin has been broken. Sin has been paid for. And when men, women, and children repent of their sin and invite Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior, they not only have forgiveness of sin, but they can have the power to conquer sin in their lives, and they can have victory over sin, and they can say no to sin because sin is no longer their master. They have a new master in Jesus Christ. And Father Jacob said to Reuben, "You are unstable and you will not excel because of your immorality." And beloved, purity leads to stability. Impurity leads to instability. And we see this illustrated for us in the life of the adulterer there in Proverbs chapter 6, please. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 32 to 35. In reference to the adulterer, a person that is involved in immorality. This is what an immoral person reaps. Look at verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Well, that's obvious. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. He will always be considered, there goes the adulterer. Verse 34, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. You'll have this victim's mentality, it's not my fault. And note verse 35, he will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content in stability. Though thou givest many gifts. So here in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 to 35, we have a sober warning concerning those that commit adultery and the effects upon that person, the wound, that permanent scarring, that instability, that reputation that they will gain, that they will never be able to erase. Instability. Beloved, purity leads to stability, impurity leads to instability. See, God is stable, is he not? God is dependable. He is full of goodness and productivity because he is the triune holy God. And the Bible calls us to be holy because God is holy. Reuben had so much potential, but he was unstable. He failed to excel in any way. Why? Because of his unholiness. And why do we have so much instability in our day? Because morality has gone out the window. That's why. Because as immorality prevails, as immorality increases, and as immorality is more accepted, there will be more instability because connected with immorality is instability. Why are people so unstable today? Why is it that the average workplace is like a revolving door? People come in and people come out, and people come in and people come out. Gone are those days. It seems where a person has a job and stays put for the whole of his life. That's my father's generation. That's probably your father's generation. But we don't see that today. We have people going to and fro, changing this, changing that. Why? Instability. And why is there so much instability? Because there is so much ungodliness and impurity that prevails today. Because impurity leads to instability. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, read your Bible. God said it. And he addresses the first son. Reuben, you are unstable as water. And let me tell you why you're unstable as water. It's because of your lack of purity. And this will affect your family line. And as I said, you look up Reuben in your concordance. And see if you can pull out even one prominent leader that rose out of this tribe. You will not find one. Purity leads to stability. Impurity leads to instability. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, it reads that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And I'd like to challenge you this morning concerning the importance of purity. Because purity leads to stability. Go to Revelation chapter 4, please. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 was the theme verse at the NBF the other week. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Go to the book of Peter, please. First Peter chapter 1. Verses 13 to 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Determine not to allow the world to mold you into its image. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Be holy, for I am holy. Beloved, holiness leads to stability. Yeah. Unholiness leads to instability. Why was Reuben unstable? Because of his immorality. His immorality infected him. And Father Jacob said, You are unstable as water. And because you are unstable, you will not excel. You won't amount to much, Reuben. In fact, your tribe won't amount to much. That's why they wanted everything for nothing, because they didn't have the moral character, let alone the spiritual fortitude, to do their part in applying God's blessing personally, so they ask for everything for nothing. Reuben infected his people with instability. A life of holiness and purity will mark a life with stability and productivity. Reuben lost his birthright, the birthright of privilege. And so will you and I will lose that birthright of privilege. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you and I will forfeit the application and the enjoyment and the experience of those blessings if we sell our birthright of purity to fulfill our lustful passions. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be holy in spirit. God wants us to honor the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us and not grieve Him, not quench Him. God wants us to be holy in soul, in mind, will, and emotion. God wants us to be holy in body. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holiness leads to peace. Yes, it does. And Jacob said to his son Reuben, Reuben, you had such potential. And God is saying to you and I as His children, my son, you have such potential. But you are unstable because of your unholiness. And why is it that people are just going to and fro? It doesn't seem like people live in the same house for very long anymore. They don't stay married for very long if they get married, even get married. They don't live in the same house for very long, let alone the same suburb. They don't stick with the same job. Always changing their cars. I know you've got to eventually change over your car. Don't get me wrong. Always changing their wardrobe. Complete new wardrobe within a year. Going here, going there, just all over the place. People are all over the place. Am I right or not? Talk to me. Am I just imagining this? No. Why is there such instability? May I submit to you, based upon the authority of the Word of God, one reason, not the only reason. One reason is because of immorality, a lack of holiness. If you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can be stable. If you'll choose the pathway of holiness, you might say, oh, Pastor, I've made some mistakes. Haven't we all? But God is the God of the second chance. And the sooner you and I just admit, well, maybe the reason why I'm unstable in this area of my life is because I don't see holiness as a serious issue. God is holy, who expects us to be holy.
And if you want greater stability in your life, choose the pathway of holiness. Choose it today. Say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to take seriously the fact that you are holy. And you expect me to be holy. I want to be stable. I want to excel. I want to make a mark for your glory on this side of eternity. So I am going to endeavor to be a holy person.
Reuben, you're my firstborn. And I can imagine Reuben, as soon as he heard his name, that's right. Yes, Dad. Reuben, you're my firstborn. And Reuben gets all excited. Yes, Dad. My might. Oh, love it, love it, love it. My dignity. My power. Oh, come on, Dad. This is great. They're all listening. Reuben, you're unstable as water. You will not excel because of your immorality. So, beloved, this morning, what can we learn from the life of Reuben? Unholiness leads to what? What? Instability. Holiness leads to? That's not complicated, is it? So if you want to have a greater measure of stability in your life, then say yes to holiness. Treat holiness with seriousness. And say, by the grace of God, I'm going to endeavor to be holy in spirit and soul and body by the grace of God. Are you unstable? Pastor, I'm all over the place. Could it be because of your failure to see the importance of holiness? So from the life of Reuben, you go ahead, just don't take my word for it, look up the word Reuben in the Old Testament and see if you could work out any good that comes from his tribe. Immorality leads to instability. That's why the world is so unstable. And as we see immorality in our faces, more so today as never before, with that comes greater instability. But you and I, as God's people, let's determine to be a holy people, because holiness leads to what? Stability. But Pastor, I've made some mistakes. Praise God, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen. Why not determine this day I'm going to live a holy life? I'm going to take this issue of holiness seriously, because I understand the need to be stable. Let's bow for prayer.